So I will be moving out of state. I've been planning a move for a little bit over a year, and now it's happening. The Indiana Recovery Alliance is going to take its time to make sure that the right person is chosen for the position. This is going to involve, obviously, getting resumes in, and then volunteers, participants, the board, and employees doing interview and vetting process. So there's no time limit on it. A lot of the administrative duties that I have, if I needed to leave, I'm be able to do those from afar. So we're really going to take our time, and we're going to make sure that the right person with the right vision takes the place. And particularly what I mean by that is somebody who is going to keep the interest of people who use drugs first and foremost in their mind, and to make sure that we, you know, work toward changing the narrative about people who use drugs and about the situations that they find themselves in.
This year has been kind of a big year for the Indiana Recovery Alliance. I know that the IRA and you in particular have been involved in drafting legislation that would get rid of Indiana's felony syringe possession. Can you give us an update about where that bill is?
Sure. We have two pieces of legislation that are hopefully going to be heard in committee and then passed on for a vote. The first one is an expansion of the Good Samaritan law to make sure that when people call 911 in case of an overdose emergency, that they don't have to worry about receiving charges for, say, possession of the drug that almost killed them, or bystanders, suddenly finding themselves arrested and in jail when they were just trying to save somebody's life. So we're excited about that, and that is, nothing has been heard in committee yet, so we're going to have those heard and then moved on. And the other is it's a First Responder Safety Act, and the idea is that when a first responder shows up, that prior to either a pat-down, if it's a law enforcement officer, or just interactions in general for EMTs, that if a person says, hey, I have a syringe in my pocket, I don't want you to get poked, that they would then be immune from arrest and prosecution for that. So it's a partial decriminalization law with an eye on keeping first responders safe. 1 in 3 first responders will have an accidental needle stick at some point within their career. And we know that with a simple piece of legislation like this, we can decrease that by about 66%. So it's kind of a no-brainer. We have a lot of law enforcement buy-in for it. The problem will be the prosecutorial association. So IPAC is the major association for prosecutors, and they tend to lean towards being against anything that takes away their power to prosecute. So the idea of public health or human rights really isn't appealing to them. The idea of prosecuting people for supposed illegal activities is, because we're trying to move away from a criminalized system to, again, this public health and human rights system. And key players in the status quo right now don't want that to happen. It's absolutely necessary unless we want to continue increase in overdose fatalities and mass incarceration. There's going to have to be a fundamental shift. We hope to start making dents in that.
And Chris, can you tell us a little bit more about this transition for the IRA in this transitional time? Is there a timeline in place for you to move or for IRA to get new leadership?
Well, if somebody's interested and wants to send their resume in, they can send it to info@IndianaRecoveryAlliance.org. We're going to be accepting resumes through probably mid-March, and then we'll begin the selecting process. And as I said, the selecting process is going to include participants, volunteers, employees, and the board of directors. So we're pretty confident. I'm absolutely confident that the right person will be chosen, given the process that we're going to have to make sure that that's the case. We've really built up the Indiana Recovery Alliance to be driven by participants' needs, up to and including making sure that participants are active at all levels, including the board of directors. So given that, and given the amount of work that's done, and given honestly, we have the most amazing volunteers and employees and board. So I just feel really, really confident that the Indiana Recovery Alliance is going to thrive. There's one thing I think that is really important as well. Oftentimes, when people found a nonprofit, it can get founder syndrome, and maybe in some ways not grow in ways that are best. So this is a really good way, obviously, to make sure that doesn't happen by, you know, myself moving on and somebody else with the same foundation of beliefs, able to maybe move it in different directions, new and exciting directions, always with the idea that the interests of people who are using drugs are a primary concern.